Has written down here special pastor's trio, and some wise guy put the three wise men right here. All right. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Nehemiah chapter 12. The book of Nehemiah chapter 12. And we are approaching the end of this glorious book. What a journey it's been. What a great book this is. We can say that about all the books of the Bible. We have the book of Nehemiah going, the book of 2 Timothy going, and the mountains of the Bible going. Also, He is Able going, if you remember. We started last Wednesday night. We've come to Nehemiah chapter 12. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 27. The Bible says, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places, bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse 27. It's the phrase, the dedication of the wall. The dedication of the wall. I preach to you on that subject tonight. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the music tonight. Lord, the hymns that were sung, the choir special, all of it, we thank you for it. Thank you that we have a song in our hearts tonight. And I pray that you help us to sing it for your glory and honor. Pray that you'll bless this service in a mighty way. May you forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. Help me to preach. I can't preach without your help. Please help me tonight. May the will of God be done. Forgive anything in my heart and life that's hindering you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've come to chapter 12 in the book of Nehemiah. In this book, we've seen Nehemiah become tremendously burdened to go home and rebuild the broken down wall of his city of Jerusalem. Now, in order for the wall to be rebuilt, he must have help. Therefore, he rallies the people together, challenges them to do their own individual part of the wall. These people catch the vision and begin to build their section. Now, although there was great opposition, these dear people, with the help of the Lord, rebuilt the wall in 52 days. What a great accomplishment for the glory of Almighty God. Now, we've come to chapter 12. And what's happening is there's a dedication service that's taking place for the wall that has been rebuilt. I have a tickle in my throat, so excuse me here just a moment. In this dedication service, we see a great sight taking place. Now, a very well-organized and planned dedication service is underway. There's two choirs, if you will, that are called upon the wall. The walls back in this day were big enough for others to walk on, you see. See, this was to help with the protection of the city in which an individual could not, an enemy could not easily penetrate the wall. Now, as a side note, does anybody remember what Tobiah said back in chapter 4, verse 3? Remember what he said? He said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Do you remember that? But now, a lot of the army's walking on that wall, and it's still standing firm. We see here that these dear people are called upon the wall. Half of them go one way with Ezra leading them. Ezra was the representative of the religious sect here. The other half went the other way with Nehemiah representing them. He represented the secular part, which means that the religious and the secular are both coming together to glorify God. They marched around the wall. Now get this, Nehemiah calls them up. He sends part that way, part this way. Ezra leads them, he leads them, and they're going around the wall singing, glorifying God, and they're going to meet at the prison gate and go into the house of God together and have a dedication service. Wouldn't you love to have been there to see that service, honestly? Right here we see them beholding the Lord's goodness in their lives, making music to the Lord and singing thanksgiving to Him. They were both on their way to the house of God on the other side of the wall. There they met and had a dedication service to remember. Now can't you imagine the sight that this must have been? These dear people were overflowing with gratefulness to their God. He has helped them rebuild the wall. They're showing their devotion in this dedication service of the wall. Now, as we consider the dedication of the wall, direct statement from verse 27, there are some key thoughts that come out for our consideration. Now, I'm going to give them to you under three main headings. Number one, let's notice the petition to the dedication. They're having the service. But the first thing we notice in verse 27 is the petition to this service. Now notice verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought. That word sought there, it means to beg, ask, beseech, or request. There's where I get the word petition. They sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and psalteries. Now it's interesting in this verse that the first thing the people did was they sought out the Levites. Now it's important that you understand who the Levites were at this time. The Levites were the leaders of this procession, this dedication, if you will. The Levites were the leaders. And if anybody should be at the dedication service, it should be the leaders. Now, in this, we see that they were petitioning the leaders to show an interest and be in their place for this special time. Now, in verse number 28, we see these leaders here identified as singers, did not complain and did not show any kind of conflict. They submitted to this petition and showed up for this special service of dedicating the wall that had been rebuilt. Now let me apply this right here. What are the thoughts that we can get from the petition? Let me give you two of them. Number one, under this, we can get this thought: leaders must set the example when it comes to dedication to the Lord. Now what I mean by that is apply it to where you are. It may be in your marriage, it might be in the work of this church, but every institution that God has instituted has leaders in place. God is a God of order, and He has put leadership in place in all of these God-ordained and God-given institutions. The marriage, the home, the church, you name it, there is a leader there. And if anybody in that organization should show dedication to God, it ought to be the leader. Amen. Number two under this, we're looking at the petition of dedication. They are petitioning the Levites, the leaders, to come, to show up. We can see under that that leaders need to set the example. But number two, we also learn that leaders need to be present for the special services of the local church. And we see in this also that this goes for all of God's children. Let me say this to you. It's an amazing thing how sporting events occur year around and the stadiums and the arenas are full no matter what time of the year it is. However, it seemingly is not the same when it comes to special dedication services in the local church. You know what the church service is? It's a service of dedication to our God. We have set it aside to worship Him, to be dedicated to Him, to show Him our dedication. It seems as if excuses start flying from all directions when it comes to special meetings of the local church. I mean, there's excuses. You'd be amazed at excuses that come out of people's mouths. You know, maybe the problem is not what the given excuses say. Maybe the problem is lack of dedication. Just say it like it is. It's not that is the problem or that is the problem. It's too cold to go. That rain is too hard on me. It's too hot there. They don't care about me. Wait a minute. Just say it like it is. Lack of dedication. Lack of dedication. Lack of dedication. We're seeing here that this is a dedication service, and the first thing they did was petition the leaders to show up, and they did. Somebody said this. This is a great statement. When I saw this about life, somebody said, if absence makes the heart grow fonder, some people ought to love their church greatly. That's a pretty good statement right there. You ever heard the statement, absence makes the heart grow fonder? Then folks ought to love the church everywhere you go, just about. I'm saying to you that we notice, first of all, the petition to the dedication. Number two, let's notice the purification in the dedication. Now notice what happened in verse number 30. And the priests and the Levites, now get this, they were invited, they were petitioned, they showed up. But notice what they did. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Now, it's interesting here to note that before the service for the Lord ever took place, they took time to make sure they were clean before the Lord first. You know, it's interesting to note that a dedication service to honor the Lord does not take the place of holiness before the Lord. See, God desires for His children to be holy and separate from this world. As a matter of fact, let me say loud and clear that the Lord is not impressed, with our outward service without our inward sanctification. Let me say that again. See, what they're getting ready to do is pick up some musical instruments and start walking around the wall and glorifying God and singing praises to God and singing glory to God and saying praise God. But before they ever lifted a finger to serve God, they made sure their heart was right. Powerful thought. Powerful thought. And may I tell you that if they had bypassed this, their religious acts would not have impressed God that much. God wanted them to be clean. Leviticus 11:45, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Leviticus 20 verse 7, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." 1 Peter 1:15, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." 1 Peter 1:16, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." As we consider this verse, we see three things they took time to purify. Number one, we notice that they purified themselves. Look at it, verse 30. The Levites purified themselves. The Levites would be in charge of leading the purification of others, you see. They were in charge of preaching it, if you will. Telling other people that they need to be clean. Therefore, they realized that in order for them to help purify others, they needed to be pure themselves. You know, any leader would do good to learn this same lesson. It is hypocritical to tell others what they need to be, especially if you say you need to be clean and we're not clean ourselves. Amen. Purification begins with yourself first. It's easy to tell somebody else what they ought to do. It's easy to tell somebody else, you need to be clean. You don't need to be doing that. What are you doing that for? Wait a minute. They didn't start with others. They started with themselves. They purified themselves first. Secondly, the Word of God goes on to say, they purified themselves and purified the people. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 52:11, depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. It's God's will for leaders to be clean. It's also God's will for the people to be clean. See, the leaders helped to purify the people. This goes to show that they did not want to have a dedication service with dirty hearts. Now, I'm telling you. Now, listen to me, please. The holy life, the separated living, in today's feel-good age has been chumped. It's been thrown down the tubes. Just go ahead and live the life you want to. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. You can make your own decisions. Hogwash. A bunch of junk. And I'm telling you tonight, the holy life is still God's plan for His people. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to be clean. And we need to understand that a polluted congregation will hinder a dedication service. We want the people of this local church to see the importance of personal holiness. Leaders are to help encourage this by being clean themselves and then helping those they lead to live a clean life as well. Wormbrand, he was a man who was tortured in prison by a brutal guard. And he said this as he... And he said that he learned from the guards this. In other words, he's being tortured by this guard who's brutal. He has no love in his heart, no mercy, being brutally tortured by this man. And this man who's a Christian said, "I've learned from this guy. Somebody said, how in the world can you learn from somebody who's beaten the fire out of you? Here's what he said. He said, I've learned as they allowed no place for Jesus in their hearts, I decided I would leave not the smallest place for Satan in mine. That's a powerful statement. He's saying what they've taught me is that even though they have not left one place for Jesus, I will not leave one place for the devil. We need to be clean. We need to be holy. We need to be pure. The Bible says they purified themselves. They purified the people. But number three, they purified the gates and the wall. Now, the gates and the wall were the surroundings of the dedication service. In other words, they were what we would call the building and grounds. You see what I'm saying? Of that day. They were the place where the service was going to be taking place. Now, folks, listen. In the same way, the building and the grounds of the local church has been set aside for the worship of God, and it is also to be kept holy, and it is to be kept clean for the glory of God. See, when they, the building and grounds, are kept clean, it promotes the honor of the Lord. After all, wherever the Lord is to be honored, it's to be clean. Now, let me stop here and let me toot their horn just a minute. Our custodial group here, now I'm not going to give you their names because I haven't gotten their permission to do this. Many of you know who they are. They are doing a great job here at Buffalo Ridge. They're keeping the floor swept. They're keeping the bathrooms clean. They're keeping, toilet paper in the dispensers. They're keeping soap in the dispensers. Folks, the buildings don't clean themselves. But let me help you with something here. They can't do it all. And you know, I learned when I was at Crown College, they would pump us. If you see a piece of garbage, pick it up. This is God's house. Pick it up. And as a teenager, you're paying tuition to go to school. You're like, what's he talking about? You know, the world. But the longer I live, you know what I learned? You know, I learned something there. I learned many things there. Do you understand when you're walking down the hallway and you see a piece of garbage, pick it up? Because if you don't, somebody else is going to have to do that. And let me say this to you. This is so simple, but it's in the Bible. They took the time not only to purify themselves and to purify the people, they purified the buildings and grounds. Now, this is a beautiful thought. Now, we don't worship this building, but we come here to worship God. And since this is set apart as a dedication service place, a meeting place, then if we see garbage, pick it up, throw in the garbage can. Why? Because God is honored here. Praise God for those who help keep the buildings and grounds neat and clean. But we need help with that. You said, I didn't know I was going to get preached about helping take care of the house of God. Well, sorry. Yeah, right there it is. They purified the gates and the wall. And we need to learn to help to do the same thing. By the way, if you do that, God bless you. Thank you. No doubt about it. And you custodial group, you know who you are. I salute you. God bless you. Nobody may know who you are. They may not know your name. They may not know what time you rolled out of the bed to get here and clean. Wipe these doors down and these windows down and sweep these floors. But I'll tell you something. God knows who you are. And you're doing a service for the Almighty King. And you'll be rewarded for it someday. Amen. 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 Now, number three. Not only do we see the petition to the dedication. The purification in the dedication. But now we notice the progression of the dedication. In verses 40 to 43, notice this. Now, in verse 40, they are now standing right here in the house of God. In other words, they've made their track around the top of the wall. They have met. Now they're standing in the house of God. Are you with me? They're having the dedication service. Verse 40. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, I and the half of the rulers with me, and the priests Eliakim, Messiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Eloani, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets. Maaseiah and Shemaiah and Eleazar and Uzzi and Johanan and Malchijah and Elam and Ezer. Aren't you glad you didn't live back in this day? Ezer, put that down. No doubt about it. I couldn't name my children this. I'm a stutterer and I'd never get their name out. You know what I'm saying? And the singers sang loud with Jezrahiah, their overseer. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. God made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And a casual reading, you may not pick up on it. When you study these verses, you see a progression. You see a progression of dedication. Let me show you what I'm talking about. After the leaders and people purified themselves, marched around the wall, met at the house of God. Let's notice this progression together in this dedication service. Number one, it started with singing. No, excuse me, it started with thanksgiving. Look at verse number 40. And so stood the two comers of them that gave, what is it? Thanks in the house of God. The first thing it started with was thanksgiving. See, the first thing we see taking place at this dedication service in the house of God was thanksgiving. These dear people took time to give their heartfelt thanks to their God and His goodness to them. This thanksgiving was started upon the wall earlier in the chapter, if you were to read it, and it continued in the house of God. These dear people wanted the Lord to know that they recognized His goodness to them. You know, in the same way, we who are in God's family need to take time each day of our lives to give thanks to our God. After all, we wouldn't be saved without Him. As a matter of fact, He has been great to all of His children, and the Word of God says every good thing and every perfect thing cometh down from Him. James chapter 1 verse 17. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. It started with thanksgiving, but then it erupted in verses 41 and 42 with singing. If you'll notice in verses 41 and 42 that the Bible says, and the priests and all these priests with the trumpets, and then it mentions all these people, the singers sang loud with Jezrahiah, their overseer. It's interesting to note how their thanksgiving included their singing. You know, it's of special note here how the Bible tells us that they sang loud. Now, this goes to show that the Lord is to be praised in song. He is. In their singing, in these verses and others, we can learn some great truths about singing that glorifies the Lord. It's right here in our text. Number one, under this, we're looking at the progression of the dedication. It started with thanksgiving, progressed into singing. There's several things we can learn about singing. Number one, under this, it's to be done decently and in order. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number 28. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophathi. Look at verse number 36. And his brethren, Shemaiah and Azrael, Meleali, Galali, Maai, Nethanel, and Judah, Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra, the scribe before them. Look at verse number 42. And all these people, notice the last phrase, with Jezrahiah, their overseer. Now in this, we see that there was great order that they had in their singing. They were singing with their overseer in place. Their singing was not something that was chaotic. Their singing was not out of control. Their singing was done decently. And it was done in order. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. Their music was not a jungle fest. Somebody say amen right there. Number two, under this, it was not only to be done decently in order, but secondly, it was to be done with enthusiasm. Look at verse number 42, where the Word of God says, and the singers sang loud. Now, This word loud means enthusiastic. It means with their singing praises to God, they were showing enthusiasm. They were excited about what they were singing. That doesn't mean they were jumping around like a bunch of monkeys. It means that they were so enthralled with their music and what they were singing about that they sung with a smile on their face. You ever looked around, Brother Gary, and somebody saying, "I'm washed in the blood," and "I'm washed in the blood. Oh, there's power, power, power in the blood." Let me tell you something. When that truth grips your heart, you can't help but smile and see with a little bit of enthusiasm. It'd do some of us good to come unglued in our singing. I'm talking about law. Nothing wrong with decency and an order, but folks, when you start thinking about the goodness of God, there's nothing wrong with getting happy every now and then, shedding a tear every now and then, raising your hand and saying, "Praise God for that truth right there." Be enthusiastic in your singing. We who've been saved by the grace of God should open our mouths and sing enthusiastically for the glory and honor of God. We should not be ashamed to sing loud. That doesn't mean that you sing where it's obnoxious. Some of you are being a blessing when you don't sing loud, just like I am. You see what I'm saying? You say, "What are you talking about? You do sing loud." I can't help myself. God's blessed me with a trumpet. You know what I mean? What am I saying to you? I'm saying that we're looking at this singing, this progression, if you will. Vance Havner said it this way: "Today's church member who yells like a Comanche Indian at a football game sits like a wooden Indian in church." That's a pretty good statement. Now, I'm not talking about running the aisles, folks. Hey, if God's in it, help yourself. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about emotionalism. But I'm talking about, instead of sitting there like you just ate something, eating something that's just torn your stomach all to pieces, have a smile on your face. Praise God through music. Sing aloud for the glory of Almighty God. We're not talking about being loud and out of control. We're speaking of being enthusiastic about the goodness of God and singing unto Him. Psalm 40, verse 3, "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Then number three, the third thing about singing. Boy, this is a powerful thought. Number three, use David's music, not Babylon's. Amen. Use David's music, not Babylon's. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 36. "And his brethren, Shemaiah, and all these," notice this, "with the musical instruments of" who? "Of David, the man of God." In other words, he's saying, for this dedication service, you use the musical instruments of David. Now, what's my point here? If you remember that the Israelites had spent time in Babylonian captivity, while they were there, they heard a great variety of music in Daniel chapter 3, verse 7. This music was used to bring glory to man and extremely worldly back in Daniel. However, it's interesting that in our text, it's brought out how they were to use the instruments of David. The thought here is they were to use the music of David, the man of God, and not that of the world. In the same way, there's music out there that's only worldly, it's only sensual, and it's used to glorify man. On the other hand, God's children should be concerned about listening and playing music that brings glory to their God. Ephesians 5:19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now get this, the music you allow to come into your ear gate will affect you and the life you live. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. The music you listen to will affect the life you live. When you think of Lot down in Sodom, the Word of God gives us some insight in what got him in trouble in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. The Word of God says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Now, if you'll notice, I'm not telling you that's wrong, that's wrong, that's right, that's right. You know what I've learned a long time ago? I learned a long time ago that you already know if your music is right or not. You already know it. Nobody has to convince you of it. And all I'm saying to you is this: Whatever music you listen to, that is your God-given right. In other words, He has given you the ability and the right, if you will, to choose the music you listen to. And I'm telling you, upon the authority of God's word, if you listen to Babylon's music, you'll live a Babylonian life. But if you listen to the music of David, the man of God, it'll help you be dedicated to the Lord. Amen. I'll amen myself right there. Because that's the truth. Stay away from Babylon's music and get to the music of David. Amen. Then number four about singing here. A leader's to be in place. Verse 42. Again, the last phrase with Jezrehiah, their overseer. They were singing with their leader. Now in this particular dedication service, there was a leader in place for the music. And this leader was to have oversight of the music ministry, if you will. This is just another way of seeing how things were done decently and in order. Now in this local church, it's good to have a music leader in place to help maintain decency and order in the music ministry. As you know, that's Brother Gary. Now, ultimately, the Lord holds the pastor responsible for the direction of the music. I'm held responsible before God for that. But when it's possible, it is good, and it's possible here to have someone who leads that ministry. Now, here we have a music director. He's also our assistant pastor, Brother Gary. He's doing an okay job. I'm kidding, you know that. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. We don't need to take for granted what God has put in place here. Because with that is decency and order, and it helps this pastor to maintain control. You see what I'm saying? It's a blessing when you don't have to worry about some major aspect of the ministry. Because there's a leader in place who's going to make sure it goes right, you see. A leader's to be in place. Looking at the progression here, the progression of this dedication. It started with thanksgiving. It progressed to singing. Number three, it progressed, to giving. Verse 43, look at it. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. Now, it's a special note that after their thanksgiving and singing, they broke out into great sacrifices. In other words, they passed the offering plate, if you will. And when it was passed, these dear people looked at it as a part of a dedication service to the Lord who had been so good to them. Now listen to me. I do not want to ever be a pastor that is guilty of just preaching about money. You know I don't do that. I do it when I get to it. In the Word of God, when the Word of God speaks about it, I'm going to speak about it. The reason you ought to give is not for this church. It's for the Lord. And when you're truly dedicated to Him, you can't help but give to Him. That's just the way it's made. Now, in the same way, all of us who are God's children should be willing to sacrifice greatly to our God with whatever He's given us. After all, Christianity is founded on the greatest sacrifice of all. It's founded on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. In light of that truth, how can we give anything less than great sacrifices? Someone who complains about giving of what they have to the Lord is only showing that they're not dedicated to the Lord. See, when people give into the offering or they give of their material things, they give unto the Lord. By the way, that applies to me. My wife and I are tithing. We're giving the faith promise. We're trying to give special offerings. We're trying to do this. We're not exempt from this. But you know why we do it? For me? No. We do it because God's been so good to us and He wants it. So we willingly give our sacrifices to Him. It's part of a dedication service. Do you understand that? Some people think, all they do is talk about money. Then listen, they're not here very often if they say that. You know we don't talk about money that often. But what I'm saying is that the Word of God is clear that when people are dedicated to the Lord, people are devoted to Jesus Christ, and they start dwelling upon what He's done for them, and they see the wall that He's helped them build, and they see His sacrifice, they start thanking Him, they start singing enthusiastically to Him, and they start saying, "What can I give back to Him? He's given me so much. What can I give to Him?" That's what's happening in this service. It progressed to giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7, "Every man accordingly as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Looking at the progression. Started with thanksgiving, burst it out into singing, burst it out into giving, then it burst it out into rejoicing. Verse number 43. "Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. When these dear people came into the house of God and dwelt in the goodness of the Lord, they burst out into rejoicing. They had the joy of the Lord as their strength." It's interesting that their rejoicing is mentioned after their giving. After it. They gave and they were still happy. They gave and they still had a smile on their face. It's also important to note how their wives and children were also rejoicing at this time. I've got this in all caps with 2 exclamation points. God give us families who rejoice in the Lord. God give us families who rejoice in the Lord. You know, according to Psalm 137, when they were in Babylonian captivity, they had lost their song in bondage. The Bible says their harps hung upon the willows. Remember? Yes. They had lost their song. However, now they're in the house of God. They're free. And they're rejoicing in the Lord. Spurgeon said, "Holy joy will beautify you. It'll change your actual appearance in people's eyes if you'll walk around with a smile rather than a frown." Someone said, "Joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Jesus Christ." That's a powerful statement. Joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Jesus Christ. The king of a particular country traveled often. But one day a man living near the palace said, "Well, it looks like the king's home tonight." "How do you know that?" somebody said. And he said, "Because when the king is home, the castle's all lit up." You know, in the same way, we need to be a Christian who is lit up for the world to see the King of Kings lives inside our hearts. Matthew 5:14-16, "You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." The progression of the dedication started with thanksgiving, burst out into singing, burst out into giving, burst out into rejoicing, and finished with witnessing. We see this in verse 43, the latter phrase, "so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off." You know, it's interesting to note how the noise of this dedication service was heard afar off. This goes to show that their dedication to their God was spread abroad to others. You see that? They were being a great witness for their God who had been so good to them. Their service rung out a message to all the heathen nations about the greatness of Jehovah God. Somebody said, "When dedication expands, so does testimony." When dedication expands, so does testimony. You know, in the same way, the news of our great God needs to be heard. Are you listening? Afar off. Am I right or wrong? This will come as God's children, individually, as families, as a church, will set aside some dedication services of their own in which they're not ashamed to be identified with Him. And God help each and every one of us to be one who spreads His good news to those close by and to those afar off. Nehemiah was truly a man who thought more about his God than himself. He's leading in a dedication service to the Lord. And in this dedication service, we've learned some great truths to know and apply to our everyday lives. And let me give you one more thought, and I'm closing. How can you have a service like this? How can you have the rejoicing, the thanksgiving, the praising? How can you have it? John chapter 20, verse 20, listen to this. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. This is after his crucifixion. He's been buried. 3 days later, he rose again. He's appearing to his disciples. And it says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. When and then. When they saw him, then they rejoiced in him. And may God drive the point home tonight that he wants us to be dedicated to him. He wants us to show up to the dedication services. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to help others to be pure. He wants us to help keep the buildings and grounds pure. By the way, that includes your home too. On top of that, he wants us to have a progression, to be thanking him, to be singing unto him, to be giving unto him, to be rejoicing in him, to be witnessing for him. How can we do it? When we see him, then we will be dedicated to him. And I want to sing this. We're starting the invitation, Miss Carol, if you want to come. Brother Gary, if you want to come. We're going to sing a song that's entitled, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. In just a moment, we're going to sing this together. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Father, we love you tonight. And I pray that you'll help us to understand that you want us to have a dedication service to you. There's no doubt about that. Help us, our Father, to draw the line and to draw the net and make people respond. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're beginning to play as soon as they get prepared. Are you in the family of God tonight? Do you know the Lord who's been so good to you? Secondly, are you truly a dedicated Christian? Are you living a holy life before God? Are you taking time to say thank you for what he's done for you? How's your music? Are you rejoicing in the Lord always? And are you helping spread the news abroad? You know what many of us need to do tonight? We need to say, God, I want to have a dedication service. Help me to progress the way that these dear people did. And help me to be dedicated to you. Heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, please. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing in just a moment. If you're lost, let us come and take a Bible. Come and let us take a Bible to share with you the Lord. How he died for you, was buried, and rose again. If you'll trust him as your Savior, he'll save you. Whatever God may be speaking to you about, maybe coming and saying, Jody, I'm going to tell the Lord that around my family, we're going to have dedication services from now on. We're going to call a dedication service around my table. And we're going to be dedicated to the Lord. Whatever it is that God's speaking to you about, some of you need to come and lay your music on the altar. Whatever it is, however God spoke to you tonight, why don't you come and do business with the Lord? Father, help it now. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God's dealing with you, leave your place now and come as he sings.
Are you weary and troubled? Oh, my God.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
honest with the Lord and say, Jody, my music needs to change. Maybe you're a young person, maybe you're an older person, but you say, you know, Jody, it's my music that God's speaking to me about. I've been listening to Babylon's music, and I realize I need to be listening to David's music. You say, Jody, pray for me. That's what I need to do. Be honest. Raise your hand high in the air. Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. I hope you understand that that's just to help you. That's all it is. Maybe you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. But when you're talking about these dear people walking around the wall, singing out loud, they're clean before the Lord, they're pure before Him, their hearts are just overwhelmed, and they're singing out loud praises to their God, and they're becoming dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me be honest and say, Jody, I need that in my life. So I'm a Christian, but I need to call a dedication service. Hey, it may be a leader, it may be a dad, it may be a husband, it may be a wife, it may be a mother, a father, it may be a co-worker, it may be a Sunday school teacher, a bus captain. Hey, I don't know. You say, Jody, I need in my life to call a dedication service. And you say, Jody, I want you to pray with me that God will help me to do that. Be an honest person. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with my hands? You say, this is what I need. God help you. May the Lord help you. We're going to extend one more verse. If nobody else comes, we're through. But if somebody responds, we'll keep it open as long as we need to. If you raised your hand to anything, I'm not telling you to come. I'm just asking you to. That's between you and the Lord. If you're a man here and you just raised your hand, maybe your family's here with you, why don't you take them by the hand and say, listen, let's go pray. Let's go take a walk around the wall, and let's end up at the house of God. Let's be dedicated. Maybe you're here by yourself. Come, dedicate yourself. Ask the Lord to help you. As Brother Gary sings, if you feel led to do this, I want you to come. As he sings, you come on now. Come on. Ask Brother G.S. Simpson, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray for us this evening, please.